Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 5 this morning. Matthew chapter number 5. As we continue on with our next level series, and we opened up this series, which is quite an interesting portion of Scripture, because Jesus is going through and he's saying, hey, you've heard this. You've been taught this. And then he will give some sort of scriptural truth. And then he goes on to say, but I say unto you. So in other words, this is what you've heard. This is what you've been taught. This is the level that you've understood it. But I want you to understand it's time to take it to the next level. It's time to get down to the heart with which that thing was passed down. So we talk first of all about next level forgiveness. And this can be such a hard one. He says we need to, first of all, be quick to get forgiveness. If we've wronged somebody, if we've done something to somebody that we shouldn't, we need to be quick to own that. Man, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have said that. I should have done that. Please forgive me. Own it. Okay? Stop blaming this or that. Just own what you've done. And seek that forgiveness. And we need to be quick to give forgiveness as well. Then we talked about next level self-control, that each of us are to know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor, is the way the Apostle Paul put it. But we are not to allow our physical desires to control who we are. We are to be controlled by the Spirit of God. So every single one of us, yeah, we have different areas where we're prone to have our desires control us. For some, it might be sex. For some, it might be food. For some, it might be drugs or alcohol or some other thing. And we allow these things to control our decisions, what we do. He says, no. You and I are supposed to know how to control ourselves in all these different areas. Then we talked about next level commitment. And man, we live in a society where people are not committed to anything anymore. He says, you and I, that's the way we're supposed to be committed. Take that commitment to the next level. A couple weeks ago, in our last message in this series, we talked about next level honesty. And really in our communication, that what you say should be what happens. Jesus put it this way. He said, your yes should be yes, your no should be no. You shouldn't need to, say all these different things to get people to believe you. We talked about cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. I shouldn't have to say stuff like that. I shouldn't have to swear by anything for you to believe what it is that I'm saying. I should just be an honest person so you know if I say it, I mean it. If I said, hey, I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there. If I said I would pray for you, then I'm going to pray for you. Whatever it is, take that honesty to the next level. And this morning we're going to talk about next level mercy. In Matthew chapter 5, look at verse number 38. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue you at the law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asks you, and from him that would borrow of you, turn not away. So, next level series, we've been using video games to help us to relate to the truth that Jesus is trying to teach to us. And one of the things I got to thinking about this week is, what are the different genres of video games? You know, you think about books and movies, we think about the different genres that there are, fiction, nonfiction, action, adventure, romance, all this kind of stuff. Well, there are genres to video games as well. Now, when I was a kid, there was like three of them. So I was like curious, how many genres are there? And obviously there's subgenres and all this stuff, but from what I could find, there's basically 10 genres. Now, I'm going to ask you in a second to share with me what your favorite is. What's your favorite overall genre of video game? But I'm going to give you the 10. I'm going to give you a couple of titles that are in that genre to give you kind of an idea. So first of all, there is the sandbox genre. And that's basically the game is an open world for you to play and explore and whatever. Minecraft, Grand Theft Auto are a couple of sandbox video games. There is real-time strategy. Age of Empires, Command and Conquer would fall into that category. There is shooters, whether it's first person or third person. And we think of Halo and Doom as a couple of those. There are multiplayer online battle arenas. Say that 10 times fast. League of Legends is one of those. There's role-playing or RPG games such as Skyrim and Fallout 4. Then there's simulation in sports. Think of John Madden Football or the NBA 2K series. There's puzzlers and party games. Tetris and Portal 2 are a couple of those. Action adventure. Maybe you've played Star Wars Jedi, Fallen Order, or Assassin's Creed, many of the Assassin's Creed titles. There is survival and horror, such as The Long Dark and Resident Evil. And then there's what's called platformer games. And you would know Mario and Sonic as two very old school familiar of those, where basically you're just working from one side of the screen to the other, accomplishing different things. So when you think about that, somebody share with me, what is your favorite video game genre? What do you enjoy? Yes? Sandbox. So like Minecraft and all that. What about you?
Fighting?
You like to fight stuff. All right, cool. Like that? Yeah. Sonic. Okay, so you like the platformer games where you're working your way across. Yes? Sandbox. So what's your sandbox game you like to play? Minecraft. Fortnite would be another sandbox game. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. You got to wave at me.
RPG.
So any certain game or just you like them all?
Legend of Zelda or Fire Emblem.
All right. Awesome. Legend of Zelda is one of those. Grayson.
Sandbox and Minecraft.
And sandbox is kind of interesting because you can basically just do whatever you want to do and just explore and whatever else. Some people like that. Some people don't. But just as there's a lot of different genres in video games, okay, there's different motivations behind each of these games as well. And one of the most popular motivations in video games is justice. Somebody's done something and we need to seek justice for whatever it is. And they have to pay for it. There's not a lot of video games based on mercy. I don't know if that'd be a hot title. You know, picture this. You robbed me and stole my wallet, so I chased you down to give you my car, too. I might be onto a video game idea there. This might go crazy in the Christian world. So I trademarked that, okay? So whoever might be watching, trying to steal my idea. But even though mercy isn't popular in video games, it's exactly what Jesus is talking about in our text for today. In Matthew chapter number 5, Jesus says this, "You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth," which is called the law of retaliation. And this law of Moses prevented offended people from taking the law into their own hands and seeking private revenge against an enemy. So this law was established to make sure that that wouldn't happen. But it also went the other way. It kept the magistrates from issuing these exorbitant sentences that did not fit the offenses. And we find this law of retaliation in Leviticus chapter number 24. So if you have your Bible there, whether you have your paper copy, your digital copy, you can turn to Leviticus chapter 24. If you don't have that, we'll put it up on the screen behind me here so that you can see it for yourself. We're going to pick up in Leviticus 24, verse number 17. And so I want you to notice the law of retaliation. It's a basically this for this type of justice system. Verse 17, "And he that kills any man shall surely be put to death. And he that kills a beast shall make it good beast for beast. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he has done, so shall it be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he has caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. And he that kills a beast, he shall restore it. And he that kills a man, he shall be put to death." So, thinking about the law of retribution here, what is the just price for each of these offenses? So I'm going to give the offense. I want you to tell me what's the just price and punishment for that. So you kill someone's beast. What's the just punishment for that? Right, a beast. beast for beast, as it says. You cause a blemish to your neighbor. What's a just price for that? Right, same blemish to that person, whatever that is. You cause a breach to your neighbor. What is the just price for causing a breach to your neighbor? Yes, a breach. Yeah. Sounds like breaches, breaches, right? If you're in the South. You cause one of your neighbor's eyes to go blind. What's the just price for that? Right, blind, you stick a needle in your eye, like we talked about last week, right? Eye for eye. You knock one of your neighbor's teeth out. What's the just price? Yeah, having one of your teeth knocked out. You kill someone. What's the just price? Right, you're put to death. And so the law of retribution basically stated, whatever you do, it's going to be done to you. That is just. That is right. That is fair. So that's the law that Jesus says. That's what you've been hurt. And the just payment for anything is the same thing in return. And if you can pay it back, you pay it back. So in other words, like the beast situation, if we kill somebody's animal, what if I kill somebody's dog on accident? Kill somebody's dog, but I don't have a dog to give them. So the right thing to do is to pay the price for that dog. And there's some dogs that are expensive out there. So y'all be careful backing up and whatever. I mean, thousands of dollars. But that's just. So you need to give them in return what you've taken away from them. If you can't pay it back, then you have the same thing done to you that you did to someone else. You think about if you accidentally, or maybe you did it on purpose, you put somebody's eye out. How do you put a dollar value on somebody losing their eye, which especially in this culture was so valuable? We can't put a dollar value on that. We can't say, well, that's three oxen. So what happens is they would put your eye out because you put somebody else's eye out. That's justice. And Jesus says, hey, this is what you have been taught. You've been taught this law of retribution that is justice, that is eye for eye, tooth for tooth. And there's nothing wrong with that. As we've talked about, that's justice. That's right. But Jesus says we need to take this thing of mercy to the next level. Notice what he says in Matthew 5, verse number 39. Okay, you have heard, but I say unto you that you resist not evil. The idea that you don't fight against the evil that someone is doing to you. You resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. Okay, so once again, let's think about the law of retribution. And I want you to answer this question. If somebody hits you on the right cheek, what should you do according to the law of retribution? Hit them on their right cheek. According to the law of retribution, if somebody hits you on your right cheek, boom. All right, this is my chance to pop them. And that's what's natural to us. The law of retribution comes natural to us. If somebody hits me, my natural reaction is the just thing, hit them back. Now, if you're like me, you want to hit them back just a little bit harder or a lot harder than what they hit you. That is the natural thing that is within us, okay? But according to Jesus' teaching, if somebody hits you on the right cheek, what are we supposed to do? Yeah, turn them, give them the left cheek. You hit me on my right cheek, turn here. Take the left one too. That is what Jesus is saying to them. He's saying, hey, instead of meting out justice, you give mercy. You provide mercy. The just thing is for me to hit them back. The just thing is for you to hit them back. The merciful thing is for me to not hit them back. And I don't know about you, but this is where we need the Holy Spirit inside of us. Because this is not natural within me. It is not natural for me when somebody punches me to turn and give them the other side and say, here, have at this one too. That's not natural. the natural thing is I want to seek justice. But Jesus says, hey, don't resist that evil. Whosoever shall smite you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. He says in verse number 40. So let's continue on with this thought process of extending mercy instead of justice. He says, and if any man will sue you at the law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. So how many of you have been sued before? Has anybody in here have somebody sue them? I'm not going to ask you what for. All right, so we have maybe a couple. You've been sued. If you're watching online, let me know. I want to know if you've been sued. Okay, so we've had a couple. How many of you have sued somebody else? You've had to go to law and sue somebody for something. Look at all these good Christians in here. Either really good Christians or liars. Either one. Okay? So here he says, hey, let's talk about suing somebody and the legality of all of that. He says, hey, if any man will sue you at the law and take away your coat. Now, when we hear the word coat, we think of wintertime, right? We think of wintertime, we think of something on the outside that we put on to keep us warm. It is the outermost garment. That's not what a coat is according to the Greek grammar here, vocabulary. The coat would have been an undergarment that rested against the skin. So one of the ways that helped me to understand was to think about maybe a slip for you ladies. I don't know if ladies still wear slips or not. But it's a piece of garment that you would wear underneath your dress. Okay? That's the idea of what a coat is here in this portion of Scripture. So he says, if somebody sues you and takes away that undergarment, not quite underwear, so don't put that in your mind. That's not what I'm saying. Lucy thinks that's funny. But it's a garment that's less valuable. Okay? He says, if somebody sues you and takes away this less valuable garment, he says, let him have your cloak also. Now, the cloak was an outer garment. So you had your coat on the inside, and then over your coat, you would wear your cloak. And that was a more valuable garment. We think about the woman that had the issue of blood. And remember what she said? She said, hey, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, that word garment is the same word as cloak here. If I can just touch the hem of Jesus' outer garment. And remember what a big deal that garment was, because in that garment was embroidered his authority, his family line, his stature, all that stuff. Very valuable garment. You did not want to lose your cloak. So Jesus says, hey, if somebody sues you and takes away that less valuable garment, give him your more valuable garment along with that. Now, when I think about what is just, that doesn't compute with me. See, Jesus is not talking about what's just. He's saying we need to have mercy. Rather than trying to get that person back, be willing to give. Rather than seeking retribution, Jesus calling for us to take the hit. And the Apostle Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, this idea of taking people to court and suing them, specifically those who are of faith, and how we should respond to one another as Christians. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's never a time to sue somebody. There's never a time to take legal action. There are. Our courts of law are established for those right purposes. Okay? So don't twist what I'm trying to say. But Paul does talk about the way as believers we ought to interact with one another. You're in 1 Corinthians 6. Let's look at verse number 1. Paul says, dare any of you having a matter against another. So I want you to notice there's a legitimate matter here. It's not that it's no big deal. Okay, we have a legitimate matter that is taking place between two Christians. He says, dare any of you having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. In other words, why are you going to court against a fellow believer in front of lost people and not just handling this yourself as believers? As believers, we ought to love each other enough to be able to work things out between us. Unfortunately, a lot of times that doesn't happen. So the only resort we have is maybe to go to court in that way. He says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? And that's a whole message for a different day. How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. He says basically those who are the least in the church ought to be able to handle these matters no matter what they are between you. He says, verse number 5, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law with one another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. So remember, we're not talking about two unsaved people. We're not talking about a saved person and an unsaved person. Those are totally different things. He's saying, as believers, there's a way that you and I ought to behave. He says, if there's an issue, you need to be willing to take the hurt. But this person's wronged me. I have a definite matter against somebody. Paul says, listen, you're a Christian. You should be willing to grant mercy to them instead of seeking justice. That's the way we ought to behave to one another. We ought to be willing to grant that mercy. But rather, what we want to do is we want to seek out justice. This person wronged me. They defrauded me. They stole from me. They whatever. Paul says, hey, you need to be willing to grant mercy. You need to be willing to take the hurt. Now, we've been talking about mercy. And maybe there's some people in here, maybe people watching online are, what are you talking about, mercy? What is mercy? Anybody remind us, what is mercy? Anybody remember what mercy is? Grace is good things that we do not deserve. So mercy is the other side of that coin. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. So somebody wrongs me, just like the instance of being punched, right? Somebody punches me. They deserve for me to punch them back. If I don't punch them back, I'm not giving them what they deserve. I'm showing mercy. So that's the idea of mercy there. But then you have this whole debate between justice and mercy. And a couple of weeks ago in our group Bible study on Wednesday night, which if you're not going to group Bible study, you're missing out on some great conversations. But in our group Bible study, us men were meeting over here, and we had this discussion about justice and mercy. And when should we seek justice and when should we grant mercy? Because we are told to seek justice. We're also told to grant mercy. So how do I know when I should do what? And the way I've kind of handled it and the way that I think about it is, we should seek out justice when someone else has suffered wrong. So if I witness someone else suffering wrong, I am to seek out justice for that person. Okay? Whoever it may be. So it's not something that's happened to me. It's something that's happened to somebody else. I should seek out justice in that moment. Now, if it's something that happened to me, I've been hurt, I've been wronged, I've been taken advantage of, then, according to Jesus' teaching, that is when I have a responsibility to grant mercy. So I hope that helps you to understand it. Justice is met out when it's not me. I want to seek justice on behalf of that person. Mercy's granted when it is me. Now, we're not talking about things like abuse and those sorts of things, okay? Obviously, we ought to report that and all those sorts of things. If that's happened to you, I'm not making light of that and saying, hey, just forgive them. It's not what I'm saying, okay? But just to kind of help us with that justice mercy debate. And if you think about your personal life, mercy is what all of us really want. Like, none of us really want what we deserve. if we really got what we deserve, each of us would be burning in the lake of fire in this moment. It's God's mercy that we are not, that we have life and breath here today. That's God's mercy. I deserve judgment. And I deserve a lot of other things because of stuff that I've said, stuff that I've done from other people. Like, I want people to grant me mercy. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to say things I shouldn't. I'm going to do things that I shouldn't. I want people to show me mercy. And earlier in Matthew chapter number 5, Jesus said, hey, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. He says, hey, if you want mercy, you need to be a person who grants mercy. Stop trying to seek justice for yourself all the time. When I seek justice for myself all the time, you know what I'm going to have come back to me? I'm going to have justice come back to me. He says, if you want mercy, you need to be willing to grant mercy. And so Jesus has this conversation about lawsuits here and how we ought to interact with one another. Hey, they want to take your less valuable garment, give them the more expensive garment as well. Grant them that mercy. Jesus continues on in Matthew 5:41. He says this, and whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him too. Now, for most of us, this doesn't mean a whole lot. But as Jesus is talking to the Jews who are around him, this one was a tough one. Because according to Roman law, Roman soldiers could invoke a legal allowance where they could walk up to someone and say, hey, I want you to carry my stuff for a mile. And if that Roman soldier came to you and said, I want you to carry my pack, my armor, whatever else for a mile, legally you had to carry that for a mile, otherwise there would be repercussions for that. Now remember, the Jews didn't ask the Romans to be there. They are under occupation. So when he starts talking about being kind to these Romans, this is a big deal. They wanted nothing more than to see the Romans expelled. But Jesus says, hey, if this soldier walks up to you and says, carry my stuff for a mile, the right thing, the just thing for them to do, according to the law, would be to carry the stuff for a mile. As soon as that foot hit the mile, drop the stuff. That's what's just. Jesus says, listen, I'm not necessarily concerned about justice here. I want you to grant mercy to this soldier. The just thing is for you to go right here. What Jesus says, I'm asking you and telling you to go the extra mile, which is where that saying came from, by the way. It came from right here. He says, you grant mercy. You think about that soldier and what they have to go through. Even though they're your enemy, he says, think about what they have to face, what they have to go through. You grant mercy. You take that mercy the extra mile, and you literally go the extra mile and carry that stuff, not 1 mile, but 2 miles. And so we're not just talking about people that we care about, that are nice to us, that are friends with us. He's talking about people that literally had them under occupation. And this idea of taking mercy to the next level is not just reserved for this group or that group. He says we ought to be taking our mercy, no matter who it is, to the next level. We ought to be showing all people mercy to the next level. He goes on in verse 42. Give to him that asks you, and from him that would borrow of you, turn not away. And this is one of those things where I'm just like, I wish Jesus had stopped before he said this one. This can be a hard one for me. You know, it's easy to give stuff to your friends. Like if you have close friends, you've got close family members, and they need something, and they say, hey, man, I need such and such. It's easy in that moment to give something to them. And we all have people that literally, no matter what they asked, we're so close to each other that you could ask me for anything. And if I was able to do it, I would do it. If I was able to give it, I would give them anything. I would do anything. We all have people like that in our lives. At least you should. But then we have certain people, it's hard to give. You know, I think about the homeless people that sometimes we see standing on the corner somewhere holding a sign. And I don't know about you, but I've been taken advantage of more than once by somebody. You know, as a pastor of a church, I have people all the time coming to me, giving me their story, and wanting me to give them something. Sometimes small, sometimes it's plane tickets to the Philippines. That literally happened to me one time. So when we see certain people sometimes, maybe it's a homeless person, we see them. In fact, there was a story that I just read this week about this small community that had a homeless veteran who somebody saw him standing on the corner with a sign and they wanted to help. So they raised a bunch of money, got him into some housing, and it wasn't long before he was back out on the street holding a sign again. And it's hard in that moment, once you've helped somebody and you see them right back in the same thing, to continue to give to them. That's hard. When we have family members, we have friends, we have people that we know, they just have a hard time all the time. Always getting kicked out of wherever they're staying, always having problems, don't know how to handle finances and all kinds of stuff. Man, it's hard when you have that same person coming back again and again and again, asking and asking and asking. That's hard for me to grant mercy again. And I'm just being real with you. I have a hard time sometimes in those situations. And there have been times where my philosophy, and maybe you're right here with me, maybe I'm not the only one who's not like Jesus in this area. There's been times where I literally have either said or thought, you've made your bed, now lie in it. Like, this is the choice that you've made. You've brought yourself to this place. And so you have to deal with the situation. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, rather than seeking justice, you need to grant mercy. He says, hey, you need to give to the person that asks you. If somebody wants to borrow from something from you, you should not turn them away. Now, I think we need to be wise, okay? There are certain ways we can help people that really need help. There are a lot of nonprofits that help people in certain situations. There's a lot of government help for people in certain situations. So I'm not saying, hey, unload everything in your bank account, your 401k, and give it all away. That's not what I'm saying. Okay, we need to have wisdom. The scripture talks about that. So I might not necessarily be the one to pay for their rent, but I might take some steps and some time to help them get into one of these agencies and get a place to stay at Mission of Hope or somewhere else. He says, hey, if somebody comes to you in their need, I need to be a person to help them. I could be the one standing up here saying to this homeless veteran, people bought you, got you a place to stay. They paid for your rent. They got food. They got all this stuff. They set you up so that you would be fine. Why are we back in this situation? You're back in this situation. You've had a chance. Too bad. You're getting what you have earned. Okay, that's what we could say. We'd say that's just, right? That's fair because of his decision. Jesus says it's not about the law of retribution. It's not about justice. It's about granting mercy. If you see somebody in need and you can help them, then you're to help them. I'm supposed to help them. Grant them the mercy. You know, we are so consumed by what is just, especially as Americans. We have this strong sense of, hey, we want justice. But Jesus wants us to be consumed by mercy. Is there somebody who's wronged you and you need to grant them mercy today? Maybe you've been holding on to the hurt and you've been trying to seek justice. I want to encourage you to listen to what Jesus is saying and take some steps this morning to grant them mercy today. There are certain things that they deserve because of what they've done. Jesus says, instead of giving them what they deserve, I want you to give them mercy. In Matthew 5, verse number 38, Jesus says, you have heard that it has been said by them, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue you at the law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asks you, and from him that would borrow of you, turn not away. Jesus is not looking for status quo followers. He wants followers who are willing to take it to the next level. Let's take our mercy to the next level today.